الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه ومن استنى بسنته إلى يوم الدين ثم أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بلى من كسب سيئة وأحاطت به خطيئته فأولئك أصحاب النار هم فيها خالدون والذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات أولئك أصحاب الجنة هم فيها خالدون رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي Alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salam ala Rasulillah, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala. Allah Azza wa Jalla, in the ayah before that we discussed, talked about the misconception that the fire will not touch them except for a few days, a limited number of days. And then he questioned this mentality and he says, do you have an agreement with Allah that He's not going to go back on? Or are you saying things about Allah that you yourselves have no knowledge of? And that discussion is now continuing in the next ayah. بَلَا مَنْ كَسَبَ سَيِّئَةً Rather, whoever earned a single sin, whoever earned a sin, وَأَحَاطَتْ بِهِ خَطِيئَتُهُ And his single mistake, his enormous mistake, engulfed him, encircled him. This is a very a deep and thought-provoking concept that has been outlined in this ayah. I'll roughly translate first. Rather, the one who earned a single sin, and his mistake encircled him, فَأُولَٰئِكَ أَصْحَابُ النَّارِ هُمْ فِيهَا خَالِدُونَ Then those are the people of fire in which they will remain. We'll probably only discuss this one ayah today because it's very heavy and some of its implications are very, very powerful. You see, in the previous ayah, they said, okay, yeah, we've done some bad things, but even if you go to hellfire, it's going to be for a little while. In this ayah, Allah says, even if someone, مَنْ كَسَبَ whoever earned, so He's not just singling out Bani Israel, He's giving a universal principle. Anybody who fulfills this formula, whoever earns a single sin, سَيِّئَة is a serious sin, as opposed to ذَنْب, which could be big or small, سَيِّئَة is only used for bigger mistakes. So, whoever earns a single sin, and then it encircled him. This means a couple of things. One of the implications of this is a person who's addicted to sinning, and they do a lot of good things, but there's this one problem they have, they can't get away from it. So maybe they're alcoholic. So they say, man, I'm going to pray regularly, I'll even give zakah, I'll fast regularly in Ramadan, I'll go to Hajj, I'll do everything good. But this alcohol, I just can't give it up. I just can't give it up. And actually, there were even among some of the later Sahaba, there were those who were addicted to alcohol in the Tabi'een generation. And you know, in the first early generation too, and they had to be weaned off of it. You know, even in the time of Umar radiallahu anhu, there were people like that. On the other hand, you have, so there's this one mentality, the person does not want to let go of their sin. And you know what they say? They start thinking to themselves, it is impossible for me to give up this mistake, this sin of mine, whether it, you know, like I mentioned, it could be alcoholism, but it could be other things too. It could be ghibah, it could be consuming haram income, you know, for your family, things like that. It could be shamelessness, whatever it may be. But they're addicted to it. And then they start thinking in their head, well, I do this one bad thing all the time, but at least I do a lot of good things. So it should balance out, it should cancel out in the end, I should be okay. Allah says, no, this one sin has actually encircled you. وَأَحَاطَتْ بِهِ خَطِيئَتُهُ His huge mistake has encircled him. That he doesn't realize the price of this mistake. Because at the end of that mistake, Allah says, فَأُولَٰئِكَ أَصْحَابُ النَّارِ Those are the people of fire. In other words, the consequence of not giving up that one sin and thinking that you're still okay, Even that can lead you into the fire. That's one implication of this ayah. The second thing that's very powerful is that when you are addicted to a sin, it doesn't just remain to that one sin. You start doing other things and justifying other behaviors, and other evils start entering into your life because of that one mistake. So when you, in order to justify that one evil deed, you actually start engaging in a series of other evil deeds, and you get trapped in this circle. In this entangled web. So that one mistake has encircled this person's life. It's that one thing they couldn't let go of. For instance, in the case of Bani Israel, and also in the case of some of the leaders of Quraysh, their one mistake was arrogance. They may have a lot of good qualities. Actually, if you study the life of Abu Jahl before Islam, he's a philanthropist. He's actually known to be like a man of his word. People respect him. You know, people can actually consider him pretty wise. Abu al-Hakam was his previous name. So he's got good qualities. It's not like he has bad qualities. And such good qualities that even in the dua of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he made dua for either Umar bin al-Khattab or Amr bin Hashab. So he's got these qualities that even the Messenger can recognize sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But he's got this one problem. He
He can't see his tribe take a secondary position, and the messenger being accepted, and because he's from Banu Hashim, them take a superior position. This one sin encircles him. And all the good that he does is no longer any good. Similar to the case of Abu Talib, who's got a lot of great qualities. But there's one, this pride. I can't leave the religion of my ancestors. I can't do it. I feel like a traitor if I did that. What are the people going to say? Right? So it's either pride or fear of what people might say. And he can't even accept Islam at his deathbed. And nobody better than the Messenger of Allah to invite you to La ilaha illallah. Right? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And yet even that's not enough for him. So you have this one sin that can encircle a person entirely. Now the other lesson inside this ayah is مَنْ كَسَبَ سَيِّئَةً. Whoever, any single person. But in the end Allah says فَأُولَٰئِكَ أَصْحَابُ النَّارِ. Those are the people of fire. In other words, Allah bunches these people together. They don't have to be from the same nation. This quality of being addicted to a sin and letting it encircle your life can be a member of Bani Israel, this can be a member of, you know, al-Nasara, this could be one of the mushrikun, this could even be a munafiq within the ummah. It could be that too. Whoever fulfills this formula, whoever falls under this trap, they're all bunched together now. فَأُولَٰئِكَ أَصْحَابُ النَّارِ هُمْ فِيهَا خَالِدُونَ. And then the contrast. And the contrast is incredible. It's something so simple, it's recited all the time, but yet the way it's placed in this ayah, in this surah, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. It's contrast now, as opposed to this, those who believed and did righteous deeds. Now this is a common translation of Amilu Salihat. In Surah Al-Asr, I think I talked about a Salihat in more detail in the Darsan Surah Al-Asr. But a Salihat is a kind of plural in Arabic that illustrates minimal. It's a kind of Jam'u Qilla. In other words, there are not a lot of good deeds Allah is asking you to do. He's asking you to do very few things. Those who believed and did the few things they were instructed to do, the few good deeds that were asked of them. What is implied here is Allah is not asking us for a lot. What Allah has asked us is very little. مَا جَعَلَ عَلَيْكُمْ فِي الدِّينِ مِنْ حَرَجٍ. He didn't put any difficulty in the religion for you at all. You know, يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ أَن يُخَفِّفَ عَنْكُمْ. Allah intends to make your burden lighter for you. He doesn't intend to make your life difficult, He intends to make your life easier. So He says in this ayah, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ فَأُولَٰئِكَ أَصْحَابُ الْجَنَّةِ هُمْ فِيهَا خَالِدُونَ. Then those are the people of paradise in which they will remain. Very simple formula, just do these two things. It's so easy to pronounce, but it's so heavy to live by these two things. Iman and righteous deeds. And here we also learn once again the natural, logical connection between two things, or rather three things. There are three steps. The first step is iman. If someone really has iman, necessarily what will that lead to in their life? Good deeds. Now that they have iman and good deeds, what will that lead to in their next life? Ashabul Jannah hum fiha khalidun. There's a logical progression. Now you have some people who claim they have iman, but there are no deeds. When there's no step two, you don't have to. You can't get to step three. You understand? So there's a three-step thing here. There's faith, then there's good deeds, then there's the success in the afterlife. May Allah grant all of us that success. But you skip a step and you've got nothing. And similarly, you have people that do a lot of good deeds, but they have no iman. You can have an atheist or a mushrik who's giving millions of dollars to orphans or helping out flood victims or whatever else, but they don't believe. Iman is missing. A'mal saliha are there. That's still not good enough to get to the paradise. You need two conditions to get to that third. This is a very basic, simple way. You know, theologians can discuss these things in volumes of books, and Allah puts them in just one statement. Very powerful statement, you know. وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ أُولَٰئِكَ أَصْحَابُ الْجَنَّةِ هُمْ فِيهَا خَالِدُونَ. Now there's a summarization once again. This is actually concluding. That ayah just concluded one big chunk of the discourse with Bani Israel, with the Israelites. Now the second part of that discussion is beginning. And so Allah starts again with the covenant. You remember, even the beginning of this discussion, there was وَأَوْفُوا بِعَهْدِي أُوفِي بِعَهْدِكُمْ. Fulfill the promise that I have made with you. You know, fulfill my promise and I'll fulfill my promise to you. You know, you do your part, I'll do mine. Now once again, going back to that covenant, that contract, that agreement again, وَإِذَا خَذْنَا مِيثَاقَ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ. When we took the covenant, that serious agreement with the sons of Israel, and what were some of its conditions? لَا تَعْبُدُونَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. Now amazing, the previous ayah said, what two things must you do to get to Jannah? Iman and good deeds. Now look at this. لَا تَعْبُدُونَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. You will not worship anyone other than Allah. You will not be enslaved to anyone other than Allah. Isn't that a matter of iman now? That's a matter of iman. Now what else is going to be mentioned? Listen, وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا, and to be the best possible you can be, to serve excellence to your parents. Good deeds, right? وَذِي الْقُرْبَى, and to close relatives. And to close relatives, you'll be your best. وَالْيَتَامَى وَالْمَسَاكِينَ, and the orphans and the poor. Here we should look in the mirror a little bit. Sometimes we have a good relationship with our boss, we have good relationships with people we hang out with, you know, good relationship with fellow students in college, terrible relationship with your father, terrible relationship with your mother. Can't talk to her for more than 20 minutes, you lose your cool. Right? You and your dad can't even ride in the same car together for more than an hour because somebody's going to explode. Right? So Allah took this covenant from them, you're going to worship none but me and you'll be the best to your parents. This is easy to say, once again, and you've heard this all the time. But practically speaking, if you look at the reality of even the Muslim family today, we have broken relationships with our parents. Our parents are not happy with us, we're not happy with our parents. This is a very serious problem. Allah mentioned it right after ibadah to him on multiple occasions in the Quran. وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. And by the way, it's not just our parents we have bad relationships with nowadays, it's the rest of our family too. You'll be totally okay getting along with your non-Muslim co-worker who might even be joining the Quran burning ceremony later on, and you don't, that's okay. How's it going, Frank? Everything's good? Yeah. You know, let's go hang out sometime. Whatever, you're okay with them. But your own cousin, your own nephew, your own close relative, I can't stand that guy. Remember what he said last Eid? We're not going over to their house this year. You know? And you have these feuds within the family that you don't want to, you have these grudges you don't want to let go of. You know, in-laws hating each other, cousins hating each other, brothers, not, they could be living down on the same block. They don't even say salam when they come out of the house. They're, no, not that. No, not this guy. No, no way. Send his calls to voicemail or whatever, right? You're going to be the best. Allah says, if you're going to be the best, it'll be first to your parents, then to close relatives. And look at the reality once again of the Muslim ummah today. We are the worst to our close relatives. We're the worst to them. We speak angrily with them. We're impatient with them. And there's a conflict within many Muslim families. There's the religious members of the extended family, and there's the kind of liberal element in the extended family, and there's a civil war going on inside, right? At every Eid gathering, the religious ones are the objects of ridicule, and they're being made fun of. Oh, Maulana's here, Sheikh is here, Eid Mubarak, you know. So you're being made fun of because you're the extremist in the family or whatever. Or if you're religious and your cousins aren't, then you constantly criticize them for how evil they are and how they're headed for hellfire and things. You're totally judgmental of them. This is the exact opposite of what Allah expects from the previous nation, and these principles are still alive for us today. Let me quickly wrap up the ayah and inshallah we'll discuss it more after. So وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا وَذِي الْقُرْبَى وَالْيَتَامَى, and the orphans. How many people know how many orphans there are in our community over here? If we haven't even made the effort to identify them, how are we going to be the best to them? والمساكين, and those who are in need, those who cannot help themselves. How many people in our community have been laid off, are laid on their house payments or their rent, or they don't even have money to pay the electricity bill, and they're sitting in our salah next to us, and we have no idea. This is something Allah asked us to do, to be the best to those who are in need. And it starts, it's a ripple effect. Your closest people to you, your parents, then your relatives, then the orphans and the needy, implying in your community. First take care of your community, وَالْمَسَاكِينَ. And then he says, وَقُولُوا لِلنَّاسِ حُسْنًا. And to speak, and speak, you will speak to people in the most beautiful fashion. You will speak to people beautifully, wonderfully. You know, the Muslims nowadays, the more religious you are, the more depressed you look. Depressed or aggressive. Like you just, it's part of being good. A good religious Muslim must have a frown on their face or something. That just means you're really on the sunnah or something, you know? So the idea of smiling is almost like haram, you know? And if somebody walks into the masjid with a smile on their face, everybody's like, what's this guy's problem? Oh, what deviant guy, you know? SubhanAllah, smile, it's a sunnah. And when you speak to people, you can be nice to them. There's a way to say, wa alaykum as-salam. Somebody says, salam alaykum, wa alaykum as-salam. That's not, wa qulu lin-nasi husna. Wa alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah, how are you, brother? This is, you know, this is what increases brotherhood. Wa qulu lin-nasi husna. Wa aqimu as-salah wa atu az-zakah. And you'll establish the salah and establish the prayer and give zakah. ثُمَّ تَوَلَّيْتُمْ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا مِّنْكُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ مُعِيدُونَ. Look at these, think about these last words, I won't even explain them. Allah says to Bani Israel, after all of these instructions, all of you turned away, except very few, while you were deliberately ignoring the instructions. Let's think about that. بَارَكَ اللَّهُ لِي وَلَكُمْ فِي الْقُرْآنِ الْحَكِيمِ وَنَفَعْنِي وَإِيَّاكُمْ بِالْآيَاتِ وَالذِّكْرِ الْحَكِيمِ. وَالسَّلَامُ عَلَيْكُمْ وَرَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ.